powered by Rev Media in partnership with TSN. It is season 5 and I believe episode 59. What I know is that this is the 2023-24 playoff preview edition of the Ray and Drake's Hockey Podcast, presented by our title sponsor, Canadian Club Whiskey, who have introduced the first release of the CC Invitation Series, the delicious CC 15-year-old sherry cask. All the hallmarks of classic Canadian Club with the added richness and sweetness of sherry. And there's my good friend Ray Ferraro, who wrapped up the regular season. I was going to say dramatically, but no. I mean, it wasn't a dramatic conclusion to the regular season, but it had its entertainment value both on and off the ice. And why don't we start off the ice, Ray? Where, okay, so you're doing the Oilers and the Avs. I'm not watching. I'll apologize. I was watching something else. And a guy you know well, an executive at TSN, Mike Lane, sends me a text and says, "Are you watching what's going on here?" I'm like, no, what? He goes, "Oilers Avs game." No, flip over, and I've obviously missed it. And he goes, "Ray Ferraro is late for his intermission interview." What happened? But hold on, you'll explain what happened. But Lane did say it was quality television in a good way. It was funny and it was well handled by John Buttigieg and your group.
Well, okay, so I'm supposed to do a hit between the second and third period of the Minnesota game playing Seattle, their last game of the year. I'm going to do a hit promoing our game, Colorado and Edmonton. But I'm talking in our back room there. I'm sitting there talking to Emily Kaplan. We're watching the studio show, and I get a text, "Hey, studio's ready for you." Well, I've totally forgotten. It's gone out of my brain. So now, I got to run down the hallway, turn around, go around the Zamboni and the guys that are getting ready, to do their thing. And now I got to run across the ice. Usually I go around the boards, but that's going to take too long. So the whole way across, I'm like, mind your feet so you don't slip.
Oh, yeah.
And so I'm kind of shuffling across. I'm going as fast as I can. There's no door to get in Colorado. I got to climb over the boards and get up on the boards and then climb and jump back down. Well, I guess they had shown my position with me not there. And then said, "Yeah, we don't know where he is." So, and then right when I got there, they were going to commercial. And so, because they had filled, and they said, Bucci goes, "Don't worry, he's fine. He was probably talking golf or something or other." And I come back. And so we did the hit, but I had totally forgot. And so this is honestly, Dregs, this is the second time this has happened. The first time Randy Carlyle was coaching the Leafs.
Yeah.
And after the second period, our boss, it was right before the World Juniors, Paul Graham, him and I were talking about the World Juniors. And as we're talking, I see the play go past me. Because I'm in the tunnel and I see the play go past me. I'm like, I got to go. So now, as the play's going down, all the coaches are behind the bench and I go, excuse me, pardon me. And the guys are like, "What are you doing?" So I get to the spot and of course, they called me out on it. Turns out that was the game the Leafs lost at home 9-2 to Nashville. And so you can imagine Randy's forgiveness of that was at 0.0. And so, it's a couple of bogeys that have happened for sure.
That's okay. Never, ever, ever a dull moment. So looking forward to it. By the way, Ray, we've got Jeff O'Neill who's standing by. He's going to join us for this
awesome
playoff edition, a preview on the Ray and Drake's Hockey Podcast, which will dissect all of the series East-West in headlines brought to you by Tim Hortons, who've introduced the new Greatest Duo set. 3 cards in each pack with a chance to find a collect-to-win golden prize card and win duos themed prize, including a 2024 Hyundai Venue or a 2024 Hyundai Elantra. You could also win a trip to watch a Montreal Canadiens game and a meet and greet with Canadiens captain Nick Suzuki, a $500 Tim card, and a $500 Esso gift card. Phenomenal prizes available only at Tim's. Well, arguably it's our most favorite time of the year. You know, I'm an insider. I don't mind the trade deadline. I don't mind all the trade activity around the draft, free agency, all of that. I mean, that's where some of the juice comes. Two former great players, Ray Ferraro. There's Jeff O'Neill joining us here in the playoff preview. Oh. Ryan Driggs. It's all about the playoffs, fellas. Yeah. Is that what it is for you? Oh, we'll start with you. The juice just comes from the start of the Stanley Cup playoffs.
Driggs, I think Patrick Maroon had a great quote yesterday when obviously this guy's been through the ringer. He knows what the deal is. He's won three straight Stanley Cups. In a simple comment that sums it up, you find out who's got it and who doesn't. And yeah. I just love that comment. It's like all the stuff that goes into it, like assessing the other team, all you got to do on your team, power play, stars, goaltending, all of it. It comes down to who's got it and who doesn't. It's my favorite time of year. And the intensity, right? You get to sit between the benches through a lot of this stuff. It just you can't match it. It's unbelievable hockey.
That's I didn't hear him say that. That's really all that it is. Because yes. in the regular season, right? Like you can be muddling along, and then a team comes in that's not playing very well, or they've had 5 games in 8 days, and you catch them on a bad night. You have a great night, and all of a sudden your stats look better. In the playoffs, it's me against my matchup is me against O, and I see O every second day. I'm sick of looking at him. He's sick of looking at me, and he's either going to beat me or I'm going to beat him. And if you can't see how great that is, Maroon's right. Then you're going to find out who doesn't quite have it and who does. It's the best. Yeah. It's the best.
All right, let's start in the Eastern Conference, man. There's so many intriguing matchups across the board, East, West. Boston at Toronto, and you do Overdrive Monday through Friday. You guys have been teeing this thing up for ages. We know the Maple Leafs haven't beaten the Boston Bruins since 1959. So 3 straight Game 7 losses for the Leafs versus Boston, 2013, 2018, of course, 2019. Are you confident that this year's outcome will be different?
I don't know if I could use the word confident, Darren. I think if you look at the Boston Bruins and the things that they do on a consistent basis, whether it be just the way Jimmy Montgomery coaches them, you look at what this team's done with Bergeron and then Bergeron leaving, there's just the standard there. And you go to some of the specifics with the matchup, you look at goaltending, Boston, you would think would have an advantage because who knows what Toronto's going to get in net. And you just look at the way they play in their own zone and their attention to detail, and just the way their star players rise up in big occasions, you'd have to give the edge to the Boston Bruins. Toronto did look like they have a different look the last month. They've stumbled into the end of the season. Maybe they just lost focus and said, let's get this over with. But I think you'd have to give the edge to the Boston Bruins just because of what they do and how they play and how they know how to win.
You agree with that, Ray?
I do. I think it is. Like almost every time they play, I think it's like a super slim margin. And because they play so different, even though the Bruins are kind of, or rather the Leafs have kind of changed what they're trying to do, I look at a couple of things that are in the Bruins' favor. The goaltending, the best advantage they have is if Ullmark starts game one and he's no good, well, then they go to Swayman. And geez, that's nice a hell of a... Oh, man. The second thing is I watched that Leaf defense in Florida the other night. And in the second period, I know it was a disaster, but they got outshot 29-4 or 30-4, whatever it was, which is remarkable. The thing that stuck out to me is that they want to be really physical, and they can be. Mm-hmm. But the guys that are really physical really don't move the puck very well. And I think a really good forechecking team like Boston – by forechecking, that means they got to deal less with Toronto's strength, which is their forwards. And I think if the Leafs D can handle it, they got a better chance. And if they can't, I think it's Boston series.
There is one X factor, guys. And although this man scored 69 goals this year, I don't think it's been seen yet in the playoffs where I always use Eric Lindros as like a description where he can totally take over a game and dominate. And I think that's out there for Austin Matthews, where he's just, he's an element for the Bruins where he's unstoppable. Yeah. I almost said the F word there. He's on the puck and he's dominating in the offensive support. And it's not necessarily about scoring goals. It's about just a dominating way to play where he can run a guy over and grab the puck and pass it to Marner in front of the net. Just
there's
something that he hasn't really taken control to the nth degree where you're like, nobody can stop the guy. Like, you could say at the end of the series, if Toronto wins, they didn't have an answer for Auston Matthews. Or maybe it's Mitch Marner or Nylander.
Yeah.
That is yet to happen for these guys. They did beat Tampa last year, but you haven't seen a series where you're like, that guy right there, 34, is the reason they won the series.
Yeah, fair enough. All right, speaking of Tampa Bay, let's shift gears. Florida takes on the Tampa Bay Lightning. Ray, I mean, is it fair to smell an upset here? And the only reason I an upset would be Tampa upsetting the Florida Panthers. And I throw it out that way because we know what Andre Vasilevsky is capable of. You know, Nikita Kucherov, if you talk to anybody in Tampa Bay, believe it or not, they say that he found another level to his game every single night. Not occasionally, every single night. And the production shows that as he wins a scoring title. Then you throw in the depth, the experience of the Tampa Bay Lightning, and it's not a stretch, is it, to call an upset here?
Well, maybe not, but I think it would be a enormous upset because I think Florida is built for the playoffs. They are deep and big and mean. Their goaltender, Sergei Bobrovsky, had a fantastic year. So I think the edge from Vasilevsky to Bobrovsky is not what it might be to somebody else. Tampa's defense is a real problem spot. And like every team's got kind of a weak underbelly. Yeah. And like every team has it. And for Tampa, it's that D. And the one thing that Florida does is they forecheck and they hit. And they got this skill once they get the puck back. I think Florida's too much in this series.
Okay.
There is that ghost out there, Dregs, where Florida Panthers won the President's Trophy a couple of years ago and then got spanked by Tampa in the second round. And it's like that might just float around in the atmosphere. And Bobrovsky versus Vasilevsky, Vasilevsky could absolutely turn into a monster and Bob could come back to life and just be kind of normal because he was out of his mind last year. To expect that again, who knows if he can duplicate that. Obviously, he just wants to be solid and good, and you can't have that run again. Obviously, Florida's hoping they will, but that's going to be a key matchup. But really touched on Tampa's defense. After Hedman, and then you're going to Dumba, Chernak. Like, after that, it's pretty slim back there, so you're going to have to work cut out for them in the back end.
Okay. New York Rangers, Washington Capitals. Now, I'm told that there's no rush here on Philip Hedel. But he is expected to be available. So whether or not that means game one or he's introduced at some point of the series, it's just a tremendous luxury to have the availability to add a piece like that. So, Ray, I'll throw the same thing that I just did in terms of Florida and Tampa Bay. You know, the history of the Washington Capitals, you know, the star power that they have. Is there enough left in this Capitals team, given how hard they had to claw to get into the playoffs to tackle the President's Trophy winner?
No. I think this is the shortest series. But you know what's crazy? Is I thought last year the shortest series was Florida-Boston in the first round.
Yeah.
And in game five, Marchand misses a breakaway at the buzzer. And then the roof caves in on the Bruins and they're gone 5 days later. I just don't think... The Capitals, I'm not even really sure how they got in, but there's something there. I know resiliency gets thrown out all the time, but they bend a lot. They don't break. Charlie Lindgren gave them fantastic play in net. And if they're ever going to be in the series, every game's got to be 2-1.
Yeah.
Because I think the Rangers are a terrific team. I really do. They've got an amazing goaltender. Their D is, that D is terrific. I don't know if you saw this yesterday. Ryan Lindgren, who's the Rangers D, sent a text to his brother, Charlie, the Caps goalie. Yeah. He says, good luck in the series. Talk to you after the series. I just think that's awesome. Yeah, see you in 10 days or whatever. And but I think the Rangers are, if I'm going to pick a series to go in five games, this is the one.
There's always two different scenarios where the team that's been playing playoff hockey for a month and a half, it's they keep rolling and Dave, well, we've been tied because we're playing playoff hockey for so long here to get in. The other scenario is they completely run out of gas and they're like, we just didn't have any juice because we used it all trying to get into the playoffs. I think the latter would be the case here, and the New York Rangers would make short order of the Caps.
All right. Maybe somewhat unfairly, I've left Carolina and the Islanders to the end, and that's not to besmirch the chances of the Hurricanes. I mean, you've got two legendary figures here guiding each club, and Rod Brind'Amour, of course, head coach of the Hurricanes, and Patrick Roy of the Islanders. I mean, it feels like Roy's wires are going to touch at some point in this series. I just love watching how demonstrative he is on the bench. But again, similar to the Rangers and the Caps, Ray, Carolina's got to win this series, right?
In my mind, yes. I just think Carolina is a machine. They do sometimes run into that thing where they dominate play, they get 18,000 shots, and they lose 2-1. And it must be frustrating for them because it happens more than a little bit. But I got to say this about Patrick Roy. I talked to him before the stadium series. He had just taken over. And I couldn't believe the difference in his tone and his approach. And like he was away a long time. And he just, I don't know, it just felt like he was different. I mean, we all think of where he loses it behind there. I don't think he will. Carolina's too good. Carolina is an exceptional team. And I think they have one of the best goal differentials in the league. And they're hard to score on. And they do score. Gensel is a game changer for them. I think Carolina's much too good for the Islanders.
There is one X factor, and it's the same at any series, guys. It's the goaltending. Can
Oh,
Freddie Anderson?
you're not sold on Freddie?
Well, I'm not sold on it, Ray, because I've seen so much in the past.
That's what I
It's like
mean.
it's either he gets lit up in Boston where he just doesn't even look like he's got his gear on, or there's some kind of injury and he leaves the net. And then you go to Kachetkov, and there's just not enough sample size where you can look at that and say, oh, that could be the guy. So if one of Varlamov or Sorokin is a guy that can steal a series. And he has yet to do that against the Carolina Hurricanes. They've matched up twice in the past several years. And it's like he hasn't been able to do that. But that is floating out there. And that's the only way the Islanders will have a chance to keep up with these guys, or this also would be over in short order.
Interesting. So if I hear what you guys are saying, we're looking at the New York, not in this particular order, but the New York Rangers, the Florida Panthers, the Carolina Hurricanes, with all due respect to Toronto and Boston, are the three top teams, right, to watch in the East as the playoffs begin. So, Ray, we'll start with you. Who wins? Who comes out of the East ultimately here?
It's the trendy pick, and I hate it because it never happens. But I think Florida. I just think Florida is marginally the best team. I think the Rangers are really good. And if Filip Hedl comes back and can give them anything, which, by the way, that is a terrific thing that Hedl would be given. I was at the Garden the morning he just fell on the ice when he was coming back. He fell, and that was the end of the season, and everybody thought that was going to be it for him. The fact that he's healthy enough to even to get to this point is really, really something. But if he's a really good player, and if he could come back, it gives him another really good forward if he can give them anything. But I think I've got Florida, Rangers, Carolina in that order with not much separating the top three.
I can't disagree with any of that. I mean, the Florida Panthers, there was a time where they were really trucking in the second half of the season where I thought these guys are going to win the cup. They got a pace last year, and as difficult as it is to get back there again, they want to go back there and they want to win it. And I think they could possibly do that. Obviously, a lot of things have to fall into place. They dealt with injuries at the beginning of the season that might be in some ways some kind of positive dregs where guys aren't just burnt out and they got to get everybody back healthy. But the Florida Panthers, if their blueprint like comes to life on the ice and they do what they want to do, and Sam Bennett and Tkachuk and Barkov and Verhaeghe and those guys are dialed in up front and they can shut down They have scoring from Montour, Ekblad, and that defensive core can do the job. I like some of the additions they have in the back end, some of those guys. You can't argue with the Florida Panthers.
I'll give you one example of why I think they're the team is after the first period, and I know it was just one game, but after the first period, Leafs were ahead 2-0, and Maurice was not happy. Mm-hmm. And he went in there and tuned them up. And they came out, and guys, they were like, it was like a machine. And the reason I use that as an example is we talk about can guys get to another level for the playoffs? They were kind of slumbering through the first period.
Well, that's the adversity that could happen in the playoff game.
And then all of a sudden, it was there. And I'm like, that team, they're not going to outshoot teams 30-4, but that team can really dominate a game. They're my team in the East, albeit not by much over the Rangers.
All right. Consensus Florida. All right, let's slide into the West. We'll start with the Oilers and the Los Angeles Kings. And, you know, Ray, it's always about Connor McDavid, but he has more help than he's ever had, I think, right? You know, Zach Hyman scored 54 times this year. Adam Henrique has been a real nice add to that line, as expected, but noteworthy. Corey Perry, playoff factor every single year. So what do you see?
I really like their team. I like that Skinner had a tough end to his playoffs last year because it seems like, you know, you need to scar a little bit. You need to get pulled through the ringer once or twice. And look, LA doesn't have an advantage in goal. That's for sure. Like Skinner is more than competent in the Oiler net. I think Edmonton's too much in this series. I know LA is going to try and stick a cork in the bottle the whole series, and I just think that would be really tough to do seven times against the Oilers. I have the Oilers in this series.
I got the Oilers as well, and a couple of factors on the positive and negative for the Oilers that have success or maybe lack thereof. Evander Kane, other than McDavid and Drysdale, he is a playoff performer. Mm-hmm. He's been really good for those guys when they've had success. It seems like he's a big man. He goes to the front of the net. I know he's been yelling and screaming at some of his teammates on the bench, but come drop of the puck, come playoff time, he's there to compete, and he generally plays pretty well. And the one guy on defense that's going to be counted on is Bouchard, because as good as he is with the puck, shooting the puck, distributing on the power play, he can get a little bit sleepy in his own zone. And if he's going to log heavy minutes, he better be dialed in, because if he's a weakness, they're going to try to say, you know, I get in his corner every time and try to expose it. So he better be ready to play in his own zone, because he could be a massive factor. And obviously the goaltender scare. But if that Bouchard, like, he's going to be a big boy for them. He's got to play like in his own zone too, not just the power play.
All right. Vancouver-Nashville. Ray, the Canucks fans seem nervous, right? They're wondering, is Elias Pettersson going to find his offensive game? You know what? One goal in his last 13, pointless in half of the Canucks game since All-Star break. Is that a fair concern in Pettersson's lack of production? Or are you the mindset that, look, the postseason is a different beast? The slate is clean. He'll be motivated.
Well, I think that, and I would be concerned about it too, because you know, it's not been five games. It's been a longer stretch. When I watch Pettersson, and obviously I watch a lot of the Canucks, he looks like he's thinking his way around the ice instead of reacting his way around the ice. Like, he doesn't shoot quite as with quite as much volume. So like it's like he double clutches a lot on shots that you would think he would normally take. The playoffs are new, and so you can go and look at your stat sheet. It's the same zeros as everybody else. I think that does matter if you're good enough, like he can be. But I do find it interesting that Canucks fans are nervous about this. They were begging for this.
Yeah.
Last year. Yeah. And now that they're here, they're not happy with the way they're winning. And I'm like, man, fans are great. we just want to win, not this way. We'd like to win a different way.
No.
And so this series is really close. And Nashville under my good buddy Andrew Burnett is like, they're fast and they attack and they go straight up and down the ice and they've got a really good goalie. And so I think this one, more than almost any series, I think, is who can play their style of game because they're different more than the other team can.
It's just another level for those star players for the Vancouver Canucks. I said in the past, guys, like Quinn Hughes and Pedersen, they have to play big boy hockey if they're going to play a playoff team. Like, they got the money, they wanted the money, and now you got to play like it and get your team in position. And all of the guys, the key factors for the Canucks have done that. Demko, Pedersen, JT Miller, Quinn Hughes is going to win the Norris Trophy as an unbelievable player. But now back to the Patrick Maroon comment, it's a different level. I think if Vancouver gets hot and they can get that mojo they had early on in the season, I think they take care of the Nashville Predators. I don't think it's going to be easy. I think Matthew Tkachuk, you know, he said it. He's like, if there's one team out there to watch and that could surprise some people, it's the Nashville Predators. I really wouldn't love the matchup, but I think if Vancouver just kind of bears down and gets to their game, they win this series.
Hey, how about this? Sorry, quickly, distance-wise. Yeah. Because travel always becomes a factor at some point. So the distance between Nashville and Vancouver, I forget how many kilometers it is. If each of the four Eastern Conference series go seven games, they will travel less than one trip Nashville to Vancouver.
Yeah, wow. It's not a picnic, man.
Like, can you imagine by game six, you're going to be like, oh, it's another 5 hours.
How much does
flight.
That matter as a player? I mean, is that legit wear and tear? I mean, all the upheaval of, you know, getting ready, getting on that plane, sitting on that plane for multiple hours.
Yeah, about like this, Carolina, New York Islanders, that's a 45-minute flight.
Yeah.
They go, like say, between games five and six, they... You know, they finish game five in Vancouver. They fly 5 hours to Nashville. You feel like a bucket of bolts when you get off the plane. and you got to rev it up and do it again.
Yeah.
And so it's...
I hadn't considered that. That's an excellent point.
The other thing about this really quick is there's, you know, O brought up Quinn Hughes, and both teams have lots of players that haven't really played in the playoffs before.
Right.
Like there's a relative inexperience on both teams. And so whichever group of those guys figure it out first, you know, that could be a determining factor.
All right. Our final Canadian team in the Stanley Cup playoffs, the Winnipeg Jets squaring off against the Colorado Avalanche. Oh, the Jets 8-0 in April. So they had that mini slide in March and then flipped the switch and off they go. So they're ready to kick off the postseason. The Jets swept the season series against the Avalanche. So if you start with Winnipeg, you know, not that that even matters, but how does Winnipeg eliminate Colorado if it's possible?
Well, I think there's an opportunity to get goalie here if you're the Colorado Avalanche. Yeah. You've got one. Well, one of the guys that could be out for the Hart Trophy is going to win the Vezina. And Georgiev hasn't worn his equipment in a month. So there's an opportunity for the Winnipeg Jets. What I like about Winnipeg, it's like they went in there and spanked them last week, 7th Cup, I believe it was.
Right.
It was
pretty.
Yeah.
So it's almost like Winnipeg has the ability to kind of, if there's different games, and not every game's the same in the playoffs, Winnipeg has the ability to kind of do it in a bunch of different ways. And I like that for them, because if it's a tight game, remember at the beginning of the season, they were 2-1-ing teams to death. Mm-hmm. Like every night it was 2-1, and Rick Owens was being asked, are you concerned about the offense? He's like, well, we're winning 2-1. Now they seem to have that mojo. It's like, whatever it takes, we'll do. I'm kind of sniffing a possible upset here, but Winnipeg Jets, if they can have like that chemistry up front and a bunch of different guys contributing. Because if you go to the elite talent up front in Colorado, you obviously look at that as an advantage for them. That McKinnon gets skating and trucking out there, you got a serious problem on your hands with the cast of characters that they won the Stanley Cup with a couple of years ago. But I like the Jets that they can kind of just say, this is what we got. We can adapt. You obviously don't want to get into a trap me, but that goaltender matchup is a massive one in this playoffs. Like, I don't like just yes and an upset.
I got two things that stand out as negatives for the Avalanche. One, they're not very good on the road. They won just 19 games on the road this year. And, you know, clearly they've got to go into Winnipeg and win one in the series. Terrific home team. So that, you know, the road thing is one. O brought up the goalie, and man, you don't need the best goalie. You just need to know what you're going to get from your goalie. And I don't think Colorado has any idea what they're going to get from Georgiev. The last thing is, Jonathan Drouin has had a phenomenal second half of the year.
Terrific.
He got hurt last night at the end of the second period and did not look great. And so if he can't go, you lose a top six, you lose, you know, chemistry with McKinnon, which was clearly there. And that would be a big miss for the Avs if he's not there. One guy that I don't even know what he could bring, but you remember the tank, Kovalenko, Andre Kovalenko?
Yeah.
So his kid just came over from the KHL. He's played a couple of games only in the American League. And could he possibly be one of those guys that just gets, like, from the moon dropped into a playoff series? And maybe. You never know. You know, it's not like you have eight extra forwards sitting around, so maybe.
As soon as that plane touched the ground, his old man would ask me if I had any cigarettes getting off it when we got to the car.
Didn't he collect all kinds of stuff like Gucci belts? And I was like, he was just high end.
Oh, God, that guy. If it was not a Versace loafer or a belt or something, it was not for him, man. He was a fascinating guy.
I'm going to give the people listening a bit of a homework assignment. If you want to see one of the hardest hits of all time, Google Kovalenko, Rob Blake. First shift of the season, he's coming down the right wing. I'm recovering from knee surgery. I'm up in the, you know, the ring press box in Edmonton. He's coming down the right wing. He cuts across the ice. Blakey's playing right D, and he comes across. You could see it happening. It was like a movie. And Blakey comes at about 10 feet away. He turns around. And remember how Blakey used to hit guys with that giant ass of his?
Big ass hip check, yeah.
Finished. Out. 10 seconds into the season. And you're like, whoa. You could hear that all around the building. Boy.
I'll tell you, Kobe, though, it's like he had this big, long stick with this weird kind of Don LeClair-looking curve. When he was on, but man, he just didn't do it for long enough times, but he's a great guy.
97, 98, he was with the Oilers, and I was doing TV back in the day. Every intermission, every pregame, he'd come up to me. You remember A-Channel, right? A-Channel across the board. So I'm hosting games for A-Channel. He'd come up to me basically every pregame. And he goes, Darren, A-Channel, what you got for me? Because we used to give intermission gifts. And all he wanted was the watch or whatever. So A-Channel, what you got for me?
Oh, that's so good.
I loved him. All right, Dallas Vegas to wrap up the West. So you've got the defending champions hoping for full clearance for Mark Stone to return. We'll wait on that. And then you've got Dallas, right? Finished second in the league, 1 point back of the New York Rangers for the President's Trophy. I'm not counting out Vegas even a little bit, but Rayman, Dallas is so good, aren't they?
I think Dallas is built perfectly. They've got 820 goal scorers. The addition of Chris Tanev really pushed and it pushed guys down into the minutes they should play. Thomas Harley is as underrated a young guy as there is in the game. That guy can play. And last year, he played six games in the regular season. He played 19 in the playoffs. He's already been through this. He plays a lot with Haskinen. I just think the depth is so high level with Dallas, and there just seems like there's something not quite in the puzzle for Vegas for me. It's just not the tumblers aren't all clicked in yet. I'm going to take Dallas in this series, and never would overlook Vegas, but I just think Dallas is, I think they're the best team in the West.
I'm going to give the nod to Dallas as well, Drex, but I think it might go seven because these Vegas characters, I mean, they had a taste of it. I think they get all the pieces back, whatever you can think what you want about that, but they know how to get it done. And they just, their fourth line, you think about what they did. It's, You know, they can get it done. But Ottinger is a key factor, man. If that guy goes nuts here, it could be scary.
Last 5 weeks, he has been outstanding. Really, so yeah. It's another and, you know, when Vegas seems to, you know, they're hoping for Aiden Hill to find his stride, and Logan Thompson's had stretches of good play. Like, they're a little bit in hope mode, I think.
Yeah.
In goal there. I'm just going to take Dallas.
Okay. Oh, who wins the West? We said Florida wins the East. Who wins the West?
Man, it's so difficult.
It is.
I'm going to go on a flyer with the Edmonton Oilers. McDavid said cop or bust, and I think that they just might. That's what they want to
Can't
do.
Argue. And,
yeah. I just mean, one of the Canadian teams is going to do it sooner or later.
Raymond?
I'm going to say Edmonton and Dallas are the two best teams, and I'm going to take Dallas. I don't even really know why. It's like, it's not like you say these picks and you have, I don't know how you are, but it's not like I have any great conviction about, like, this is the one. Right?
Every team I pick, I'm like, well, I'm picking them, but it could pull the underway if their goaltender crashes.
So I'm going to take Dallas. I've got a Dallas Florida final.
Okay. Dallas Florida final. Stanley Cup prediction. We all
I'm
going to
say the Edmonton Oilers, right? I'm garbage at this. It's my worst event. I just love watching the games, but as far as prediction, I'm awful. But I'm going to say the Oilers.
Right?
Worst event. This is like me in the high jump. I'm out in the prelim, man. I'm going to take Dallas. And and the reason I say I could be out here in the prelims is because Vegas could beat Dallas, and then I've got nothing left for my pool for the rest. But I'm going to take Dallas. Right.
So, if the Toronto Maple Leafs were to surprise many and win the Stanley Cup, is it possible we could see you running down Yonge Street in nothing but a Leafs loincloth?
There wouldn't be a loincloth, Greg. I might start drinking again, too. Just for one day.
Well, we do know, that you can't drive the bus, because Will Arnett came on the show a while ago, and he said he's driving the bus if there's a parade. So you could be running out front with the flag, and he could be driving the bus.
Yeah. All right. Thanks, Jeff. We appreciate it, buddy.
Thanks,
okay,
man.
Enjoy the playoffs. Good seeing you, boss.
Yep. Talk soon,
Tim's Greatest Duos trading cards with two iconic players on every card, like Matthew and Brady Tkachuk or Brady and Keith Tkachuk. Rivals, family, and more connected like never before. Tim's Greatest Duos trading cards.
All right. Thank you to our friends at Tim Hortons. Always fun to have Jeff O'Neill join us, Ray, on the podcast. And fitting, right? To get the great minds of Ray Ferraro and Jeff O'Neill going into the playoffs just seemed like the right thing to do. And by the way, our interviews on Ray and Dregs brought to us by Canadian Club Whiskey, who have introduced the first release of the Canadian Club Invitation Series. CC 15-year-old Sherry Cask, the signature CC Classic 12-year-old whiskey, finished with a secondary aging in Oloroso Sherry Cask. So just spell out, just lay out the first, four games of the Stanley Cup playoffs for you. What does that look like?
Well, it's, what day is it? Friday today. I'm flying home today from Denver.
Okay, yeah.
I leave tomorrow morning to go to New York. So game one is Washington Rangers at 3 o'clock Eastern on Sunday. Take the train. No, we're flying to Boston. On Monday, we have game two of the Leafs and the Bruins.
Okay.
Next morning, we take the train back to New York for game two of Washington Rangers. Then we go on Tuesday back to Boston. Sunday we're in New York for game one. Monday we're in Boston for game two of Toronto and Boston. Tuesday we're in New York for game two of Washington Rangers. Wednesday we're in Toronto for game three of the Bruins and the Leafs. Then we get a break because TNT takes over through the weekend. So I'll get home and watch a couple of soccer games and watch everybody else do their thing. But those first 4 days are going to be it'll be pretty busy.
Well, the grind is real, but as you and Jeff established, you know, that Vancouver Nashville series is bonkers travel wise. So from an Eastern perspective, yeah, it's doable. You're loaded up with work and prep and everything that goes into being the analyst that you are, but the travel
in,
is
in a way, right? Dregs, though, it becomes almost easier because the prep, because the game that I'm going to do today, the real only story is what happened the game before or in the series that I'm doing anyway. So that makes it a little easier. And it's, you know, then you just spend time catching up and watching all the other great hockey that's going on around the first round.
All right, buddy. Well, you know, we've got our season preview on TSN playoff postseason edition of, so what are we doing at 7 o'clock Eastern, I think, tonight on TSN. So, and then we'll get rolling with studio stuff following the Leafs, of course, all the Canadian matchups, but such a great time of year. It is, you know, I mean, it's a ton of work and you know, the sacrifices, this, that, and the other thing, but it's why we do it, right? It's why you invest all the time and energy and everything you do over the course of the regular season.
Yeah. But so do the fans. I mean, they invest all their emotion and fandom in following their team, and this is the payoff. And you hope that the next 12 days or so are good for your team so you can get out of the first round. Because at this point, while there is hope, it just seems unimaginable to think that your team's going to win 16 games. But once you get through one round, you're like, oh, we could do this maybe. If we win four more games, we're in the conference final. And so I love to see how it's just like, it's so important to so many people, and it's super fun. I love it.
Well, as a fan, we're going to enjoy the stories that come from your broadcasts, and you enjoy the journey. It's always fun.
Will do. And everyone, thanks for listening all through the regular season. This has been great for Darren and I, and the playoffs are the best. Enjoy it, and we'll talk to you next time.
Yes, and thank you to our sponsors, Rare Title Sponsor, Canadian Club Whiskey, and Tim Hortons. Until next time, enjoy the playoffs, everybody.